You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, to round out tonight's show, which has been a fantastic show featuring Mark Weber in the first hour, Roger Devlin in the second hour, and now our favorite Canadian free speech activist is back for the second week in a row, Paul Fromm. You know, he was on last week to talk about the Canadian federal elections, and we got a lot of good information on that. And then sure enough, right after that, the Justin Trudeau brown-faced, then black-faced fiasco took hold. And, well, you know, how could I not have Paul back on again to give us a follow-up? But before we bring Paul on, Keith Alexander, my co-host, quick comment for Paul, and then he's out the door.
Well, it seems to be a delicious irony that seems to be coming about that the new higher standards of political correctness are catching many more left-wingers than right-wingers. When a committed lifelong leftist like Canadian Premier or Prime Minister Justin Trudeau can't clear the bar for the new standards of political correctness, then, you know, it just shows you how impossible these standards are for human beings to adhere to, you know, or to obey. It is absolutely a delicious irony that the people that are being barbecued, they're being skewered on these new standards, are the people that would supposedly support them.
We saw it with Ralph Northam in Virginia. We see it now with Justin Trudeau in Canada. So, Paul, tell us what's going on up there. Please make sense of it.
James, it's hard to know what to feel. Truly, the revolution is eating its own. Maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I don't see real harm in blackface. There were three separate incidents, two of them going back, I think, to 2001, when Prime Minister Trudeau was then 29 years old and was a teacher, a drama teacher at an exclusive private school in Vancouver, and one a bit further back when he was in university. But three different incidents. In the most famous one, the picture that I think appeared in Time magazine, he's, I guess, pretending to be Ali Baba. And he's got this outsized turban on, very, very black face, very black hands. Now, Ali Baba, I mean, not to be too picky about it, was actually an Arab, not a black, but okay. So this has absolutely freaked out the minorities and the cultural Marxists and the politically correct. Frankly, I don't see why dressing up like that was not meant to insult anybody. Trudeau, though, has never met a costume he didn't like, and he disgraced us mightily. And this was far more serious on his visit to India in the spring of 2018 when he put on outlandish Indian dresses. And he got them wrong. At one place, he was at some sort of formal reception, and he was dressed like a bridegroom. He didn't know that. He just thought it looked pretty amazing. And many of his female entourage, including his wife and several female cabinet ministers, were wearing that sort of veil across the head.
I saw that. Yeah, he's dressed up as everything but a white man.
Yeah. I mean, meanwhile, when Trudeau met a couple of the leading actors and actresses in Bollywood, that's the Indian, very big Indian movie industry, there was the leading actor dressed in a very conservative, dark Western suit. And the leading female actress, she wasn't dressed up in saris and all that type of stuff. She was dressed, as I recall, in a very conservative, well-cut jacket, blouse, and I believe skirt. I mean, they looked good. Meanwhile, the prime minister looks like a flippin' clown. But anyway, it wouldn't be I wouldn't consider this against my standard of morality, his plain dress up
No, I mean, honestly, Paul, I mean, seriously, if I dressed up as someone of another culture, that would be me trying to respect, I think, that culture. I think that's the way most people would interpret it. I guess you could be mocking it. And you know, some people might do it to mock them. But most people who are going to take the time to dress up and emulate another culture are doing it out of some sort of reverence, you would think.
Yeah, we have sort of the same situation with the names of sports teams, like the Atlanta Braves or the Cleveland Indians.
There you go.
A brave is a warrior. And it wasn't. They didn't name it. They didn't name their team the Atlanta Wimps or the Atlanta Losers. Brave was actually honoring the fighting spirit of many of the Native Indians. But oh yeah, as you know, that we live in an age basically of madness. But okay, I'm not defending Trudeau. But if this was a fair playing field, I'd say I don't see the problem. However, he espouses a holier than thou. Ultra-feminist, ultra-pro-LGBTQ, insanely pro-abortion morality. In fact, about a year and a half ago, there was a town hall meeting in Edmonton, Alberta, and some long-winded lady got up to ask a question. And I think she was talking about the environment, and she was talking about the threat to mankind. He interrupted her and said, well, madam, it's humankind. And he comes across as just a moralizing jerk. So it looks good on him. You know, the party is in complete disarray. We're in the middle of an election. He has made a number of apologies, saying, well, you know, he's very, very sorry. He didn't mean harm, but he should have known it was racist. He's already calling himself a racist. I mean, you never plead guilty to that stuff because it's such a vague term. And he said, well, he acknowledges he's, you know, a millionaire's son. He's a trust fund kid. And he said, well, it's white privilege. Well, that's I guess, the right slogan. But he didn't do this because he has a privilege as a white person. He did it because he's a jerk. He's trying to deflect real responsibility from himself instead of saying, yeah, well.
Paul, I got to ask. I'm so sorry, but I've got to ask you because you're just – listening to you, man, this is firing me up. I mean, do you think, man to man, and I'm talking to a man here, and I know I'm a man, do you think Justin Trudeau can actually consider himself to be a man? I mean, this is a guy who has emasculated himself. He has made a political career, and a very successful political career, out of emasculating and embarrassing himself. They have allowed him to rise to the level of the Prime Minister of Canada. But do you think, at the end of the day, when he goes home, do you think he considers himself to be a man? Can you be a man and live a life of utter apology? And
I'm asking. That's a philosophical question, but I don't know whether it's true or not, but he has a small pile of thin books on his bookshelf. And there's a
hold on right there, Paul. Hold on. We got a break. We have you for one more segment. We're talking about the Justin Trudeau blackface fiasco. And, well, it was brownface, and then they found a second and a third instance of him wearing blackface, for which he has, of course, very dutifully apologized for, don't you know. Has he ever spoken without it being an apology?
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. We're talking about the snare that has entrapped so many apologetic weaklings. And I think that they probably got it started with, Roy Moore going back through the year? Well, no, it was Roy Moore signed a yearbook of some female, and I think they said that was the equivalent of him raping her. But it wasn't long after that that they started going through these yearbooks, going back decades, 50 years in some cases, to try to find a picture of some elected official doing something that now they believe to be bad. And they've snared, as Keith mentioned a few minutes ago, a few liberals, whether it be Ralph Northam in Virginia, obviously Kay Ivey was the most recent the most recent one to be snared in Alabama, the governor of Alabama. Even though, of course, she's not liberal, I don't know how much good she's actually done. But in any event, this is what happens. But the point is that appeasement never works. These apologies never work. As soon as I heard this story, I said, I got to call Paul. Better Call Paul. You've heard of Better Call Saul. Well, no, Better Call Paul. And we had the Justin Trudeau. He apologized after this brown face photo surfaced. And then, since then, he's apologized twice more because they found two more incidents in which he was wearing blackface. And of course, those subsequent apologies followed there as well. I mean, this guy, more than any other so-called Western leader, has made a career of emasculating and embarrassing himself. He's made a career out of apologizing, and now even he cannot find absolution. Even he now is being hung out to dry. Justin Trudeau, the boy wonder. Important lesson here, folks, to be learned. Never apologize. That is TPC's motto. No retreat, no surrender. No apologies. Well, it's a long way from here in the Mid-South to Canada, and we lost Paul there for a second. Do we have Paul back yet, or are we still trying to reach him?
apparently Paul's not back quite yet. So we will continue to tread water until he is. But no, appeasement never works. Don't apologize. Now, Justin Trudeau may very well... And he's back. Okay, so Paul, we were just saying, I mean, never apologize. It never seems to help. This guy who has embarrassed and emasculated himself more than any other Western so-called leader, even he is not finding absolution. But will it really affect the Canadian elections? Will it have any impact at all? Because I, like you, Paul, believe that nobody really cares about this stuff. I mean, the media pretends to believe it's a big deal or puts out that it's a big deal. But I don't think so-called minorities are offended by this. I mean, you and I, as normal white people, see it as if you dress up as somebody from another race, you're honoring them in some way. So I don't think non-whites really care about this stuff. I don't think that they feel as though it's offensive in any way. The media trumps it up as so, but I don't know how much even they really believe it. But of course, it does get the politicians to once again apologize. But will it really affect the Canadian elections in any tangible way?
Yeah, I think it will. I think, like your observations, I think are largely correct. Many minorities look fairly pragmatically at this. Some of the young Turks and rebels, of course, pretend that that he has made fun of their pain. Well, what pain? That they've arrived in the promised land here of goodies handed out to them. They're undeserving. And so, but this is part of I'm a victim. So some of the talking heads are going on like that. You're right. I don't think most people would see this as huge. But what is happening though? It's the hypocrisy. I mean, if he hadn't been so preachy so castrated, you know, he's a feminist and a pro-abortion and all that, it mightn't have that, such an effect. But I think it's going to reinforce in the minds of some of the undecided voters that this guy can't be trusted. That he's, and there are a number of other Canadian issues that he promised one thing in the last election and failed to deliver. So there's an issue here of trust and authenticity. See, part of his cachet was that he was going to do politics a new way. And he's a he's progressive. He's Mr. Sunny Ways and all that. Well, now it turns out he has terrible judgment. I think it will also discourage part of his cultural Marxist base, some of the minorities, the feminists. Hopefully, it will discourage them so that they'll stay home and not vote. But they do have several alternatives. They have the Greens and they have the Socialist New Democratic Party, led by a fellow wearing a pink turban, Jagmeet Singh. But I believe his party will be dog meat by the time the election's over, because a lot of people have trouble seeing a leader with a turban on. But I think it will have an effect on the election. Now, it's probably a little early to say. We're 3 days into it. But he has hardly any defenders. I mean, the most defense people will raise is, well, it's maybe not such a big issue, or it's a long time ago. Well, it was somewhat of a long time ago, but he was nearly 30 when the most recent incident happened. So it's hard to dismiss this as youthful indiscretion. And the La Presse, one of the major papers in Montreal, reported on Thursday that there are more, senior liberals have said there are more incidents. So it's not just these three.
Huh. Well, that was the thing. I mean, he was saying, you know, right. I mean, it is so racist and so horrible. I didn't know it then, but we know it now. And you're talking about something from not that long ago.
Yeah, and the thing is, you might be able to, I mean, their morality, not mine, but they might be able to excuse one or maybe two instances. But if there are a number, it's a pattern of behavior, and it goes so against Mr. Diversity, Mr. Multiculturalism, it makes him a phony. And the liberals have staked their fortune to him. and to his brand. It's not really a strong liberal party. It's the Justin Trudeau party, and that's going to mean the party rises or falls on his brand. And I think this is quite serious, actually.
That's very interesting. I mean, you would know about it certainly much more and much better than we would here, being down here in the States. So that's interesting to see how this could potentially impact Canadians' politics. But I think the lesson that most well-rounded and healthy, right-thinking white people could take from this is that cucking does not ingratiate you with the chronic malcontents. It certainly doesn't ingratiate you within the media, emasculating yourself, embarrassing yourself over the course of a lifetime. You foul up one time, and you're going to get the Paul Fromm treatment.
Well, that's exactly right. And see, while he's begging for forgiveness, he is not being very forgiving. There's an instance just before the last election. Two Liberal members of Parliament were accused by several women of having, I guess, sexually harassed them or maybe come on too strong. There's nothing.
Hold on right there, Paul. We have a Jack Ryan to round out the show, our regular contributor. We're going to try to bring you back very quickly to make your parting shot. And then we're going to get to Jack. If we can put you both on the line at the same time, we're going to talk to our producer and see what we can do about that, because I want you to be able to finish your thought. Stay tuned, and everybody else, and stay on the line, Paul. We're going to see what we can work out. Back.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Some of the 2020 presidential candidates are campaigning in Des Moines, Iowa, greeting supporters at the annual Polk County Democrat Steak Fry. The organizers of the event say they will be grilling 10,000 steaks and 1,000 vegan burgers. Now, this all comes after earlier this week at a CNN climate change town hall, many of those same Democratic candidates were lecturing folks about eating less meat. The U.S. signed an agreement on Friday that sends illegal aliens seeking asylum at the U.S.-Mexico southern border to El Salvador. Acting Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Mark Morgan tells Fox News,
"We're going to continue to do what this administration has been doing, working with the government of Mexico, working with the Northern Triangle countries to build their capacity to address this as a regional crisis, and we're going to continue to build that wall. Every mile of wall that's built, the agents are safer, they can do their job better, and this country is safer."
This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Once again, it looks like trade talks with China have stalled. USA Radio Network's Wendy King reports.
Lower-level Chinese negotiators in Washington for talks canceled plans to visit farmers who've been hurt by the trade war and abruptly cut their trip short. President Trump has now decided he does not want a piecemeal trade agreement.
We're looking for the big deal. We've taken it to this level. We're taking in billions and billions of dollars of tariffs. China's devalued their currency, and they have a very bad economy right now, and I don't want them to have a bad economy.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Thank you, Wendy. This is your final weekend of summer, so do make sure and get out and enjoy it. The first day of autumn is Monday. This year, the fall equinox lands on September 23rd. Specifically at 3:50 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. At that time, the sun will be perfectly aligned with the equator. On Monday, most places will see about 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of night. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Jack Ryan's time for just a second to wrap up the third of three fantastic guests tonight and Paul Fromm. We've had Mark Weber, Roger Devlin, and now Paul Fromm rounding out his thoughts on the Justin Trudeau brown face, then blackface times two controversy. And Paul, I want you to wrap up those thoughts, but also a quick question. As a Canadian citizen and voter, is Justin Trudeau allowed to speak if he is not apologizing? I don't know if I've ever read or heard of anything coming from his mouth unless it was some apology for something white people have done.
Usually he apologizes for other people. That's rather interesting. There was a scandal earlier in the year where he was unduly trying to pressure the Attorney General into making a sweetheart deal with one of the big Quebec firms that's being found involved in corruption, et cetera, overseas. And anyway, he actually never did apologize for that. He tried to alibi or make excuses. So when he does things himself, he's rather loath to apologize, but he's quite prepared to apologize for our treatment of, say, Jews who wanted to, that we sent back a shipload of Jews who came from Hamburg in the spring of 1939, as did your country. It was the same boat. Well, he's apologized for that and so many other things. We would take an entire show to go over all the things he's apologized for that others did, but things he did himself, he's trying to say, well, you know what, I'm very sorry, but, you know, it was this white privilege and it was my upbringing. You know, it's anything but really, how do you explain it? If you buy their premise, if you buy the premise that dressing up in blackface or brownface is wrong, is a vile thing, well then, I mean, it's pretty hard to alibi it. He has violated their twisted up morality, and it's quite delightful. I said that at the very beginning, but somebody came up with the idea that the revolution eats its own, and I think that's what's happened. It happened with the French Revolution, it happened with the Russian Revolution, he's very intolerant. Before the last election, there were accusations of sexual misconduct, not rape, not assault, but boys being boys, I guess, against two Liberal MPs. He kicked both of them out of his caucus, and he had a private investigation. We were never told the particulars of the investigation. Both men denied any guilt or wrongdoing. And not only did he kick them out of the caucus, but he kicked them out of the party. And so in the upcoming election, 2015, they couldn't run. So their political careers absolutely toast without ever a fair hearing. And if I recall one of them, it was sort of, the socialist member of parliament with whom he had a one-night stand, I guess, had mourning after regret. And, they're all adults. It wasn't as though he wasn't doing things like Prince Andrew apparently was doing with Epstein's, underage girls. So he's very judgmental.
Well, and now it would appear as though his reputation is as good as ours, which is that there's some poetic justice in that. But anyway, Paul, listen, back-to-back weeks, my friend, I'm so thankful for you making yourself available. Again, we had you on for a very informative segment last week on what's going on with the Canadian federal elections. And then sure enough, as soon as you get off, it seems as though this news breaks about the Prime Minister, Mr. Cuck himself, violating the false gods of political correctness. And so we had to have you back. And I thank you for making yourself available. It's always good to talk to you.
Okay, thanks a lot, James.
And we'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
Paul Fromm, everybody. He is the director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression and the Canada First Immigration Reform Committee, and a good friend of mine and yours, Paul Fromm. And now we have Jack Ryan. But before we get to Jack, we have to first go to his intro song of the week. So let's get this in right now. Here we go. If you know the song, sing along. You know, I even see a guy dressed up as an Indian in that. So maybe Justin Trudeau could apologize for that as well. Jack, welcome. How are you tonight, buddy?
I'm doing just great.
All right, let's talk about the song, In the Navy. What's going on?
Okay, that was the song. It's kind of a fun, exciting song, In the Navy, by the Village People. But it took me a long time to figure this out, but this song, In the Navy, by the Village People, the musical group that does this, the Village People, they're gay homosexuals. And I was, you know, I was surprised to hear it, shocked, kind of hear it. I was shocked to find out that there were.
We all like, who doesn't like to sing along to YMCA?
I mean, in the YMCA, but in New York City, the Village, I was shocked to find out that there are any gay homosexual people in there. But if this is true, and so my thing, like, if you want to be patriotic, you want to do it. But if any of our listeners there, their son is in the Navy, and they're enlisting to do a tour of duty. But if you go on, and your son is going on a 6 month Navy thing in a submarine, and there are these people dressed up as Indians or construction workers, and they're singing this song in the Navy and stuff like that, I would say, like, don't do this. You know, it's not.
Put women on the submarines now too. So I think Pat Buchanan called it the Navy. You know, you can get enlisted on the Love Boat now because they put.
There's
going to
be a Love Boat, but if everybody in there is male homosexual, you don't want to have a Love Boat. You want to have.
It's sort of like a prison, isn't it? Yeah, I don't know if that's the way it used to be, but in any event, yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
it's patriotic people. For our country, doesn't it? Doesn't it make you feel like, oh, wow, our military is really.
Well, it actually ties into what we were talking about, because we were talking with Paul Fromm earlier this hour about the many apologies of Justin Trudeau, the prime minister of Canada. And one of his incarnations, he dressed up in an Indian headdress. And so you certainly had one of the bandmates of the Village People as the Indian, as the construction worker, you know, on and on and on. But in any event, at least you don't have to worry about it. You're not in New York. You live in Chicago, where I'm sure there is no vice or anything.
There's no vice. Well, unfortunately, there is a little bit of vice in there. So I just want to give you the stats. Our listeners
in Chicago, you don't say.
Yeah. You know, this week, shot and killed 6. Shot and wounded 51. Total.
Wait. This week, you shot 51 this week.
Yeah, 51. Shot and total shot 57. Total homicide 6. So all of the murders were gun murders. So those were there. If you're going to visit, I love my city. I love to be a tour guide and things like. But this week, all the murders were done by like guns. Used to be the other ones, they could run you over with cars or knife, you beat you with a club or something like that. So this week, all of our homicides and shooting were with guns, you know. So that's kind of the one. But we're going to move over to the subject of the gay homo sexual things. Our song, hey, that's great, they had a good catchy song, but unfortunately these big cities, particularly Chicago and New York, we do have gay homosexuals, and I want to alert our listeners to be kind of on guard for these things, because there are certain dangers, and we've had some rough things in Chicago, and I'd like to sort of address some of those issues tonight.
All right. Well, Jack, before you do, very quickly, we have just seconds remaining this segment. We got a little bit of a late start. We had to carry Paul over. It happens in live radio. Do you have a book or a movie recommendation tonight that we can quickly shoehorn in before the music starts?
Yes, I do. And they're both gay and homo themed ones. The movie recommendation is The 300 Spartans, which was an animated kind of movie, but it's historically true. It's about the Greek Spartans resisting the Persian Empire coming in. But the movie, you see, it's very heroic. But if you notice in the movie, there's very few women in this movie. There's one woman, the wife of Leonidas. The rest of the guys are bikini.
Hold on right there. Actually, you know, the wife of Leonidas also plays the queen in Game of Thrones. If anybody out there is a Game of Thrones fan, I believe her name is Lena Headley. I need to look that up near the break. But anyway, that's trivial knowledge. Hold on right there, Jack. Again, a little late getting started with you, so we're a little running behind in our timeline here. We'll get to your book and movie recommendations and the rest of the thing.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary's selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, so we're now a little bit belatedly, but now to Jack's book and movie recommendations after we got through In the Navy by the Village People, and we'll sing YMCA later maybe. But yes, so as I was mentioning, the queen of Leonidas in the movie 300 is played by Lena Headey, and she plays Cersei Lannister in the Game of Thrones. So anybody in tune with that particular series and that trivial knowledge might find that interesting. But I found that to be a good movie, Jack.
It was a good movie, and it's historically accurate because it presents the views of the Greek and then what we inherited, the British and American ones, that the Greeks were these defenders of Western civilization against these Asiatic mongrel hordes of Persia. But that's not really actually very true. But if you look at that, the movie 300 Spartans is very much a homoerotic one. You see the fighters, they don't wear a lot of armor. They're wearing bikini briefs and going out there. There's only, and the queen, Leonidas's queen, is the only woman in the one. The rest of the guys are out there buffed up, you know, and there. So I think it's a very...
Well, we know from that one scene that Leonidas himself was certainly heterosexual.
Well, I hope so. But actually, Alexander the Great's father, King, what was the guy's king's name? King Philip or something like that. Yeah, he was by...
Yeah, King Philip. Philip, that's absolutely it.
You know, they had a lot of, like, gays there. So that's my recommendation. But it's a very good movie, and there... And my book recommendation is another sort of gay theme, Oscar Wilde's Picture of Dorian Gray. They made a pretty good movie out of it. Britain has always had a lot of really talented gay, bisexual type people. And Oscar Wilde is just brilliant, great writer, and he's got great quotes and things like that. But, you know, in a big city, you're always going to have this gay issue, but now it's gotten out of control, particularly in my city of Chicago. And so I was going to discuss some of the other...
Let's get to it. Let's get to it. Let's pause though very quickly, and then we'll get to we'll get to your point. But if I could very quickly make an observation, I may have said this last week. I'm not sure, but we're talking about history. You triggered a moment, I guess, or triggered a talking point in talking about Leonidas and the 300 and all of that. I mean, I love history. I love reading about history. I love reading about our history, the history of our people. And I have a very beautiful wife, so we don't have a lot of time during the day. I've got work. I've got kids. I've got obligations. So, you know, beautiful at night in bed, I try to read about history. And, you know, you have to have a lot of discipline to, you know, stay true to your studies. When you've got something like that laying next to you. But in any event, I think that I like to read at night before bed, and I think the most incredible time would have been that 50-year period between 1475 and 1525. I mean, think of all that was going on. That was the dawn of the Age of Exploration. The dawn of the Age of Exploration. All of these people were alive and making their history at overlapping times. Ferdinand and Isabella, Columbus, Henry VIII, Cortez and Montezuma, the Borgia Pope, Martin Luther. I mean, they were all alive at once. I mean, compare that to like John McCain and Barack Obama. I mean, it just pales in comparison to true men of destiny. And I think if I could go to one moment in history that I would want to go back to if I had a time machine, it would be that moment on the causeway when, I've said this before, but when Cortez and Montezuma met. And if I could make one movie recommendation, it would be the 8th grade history project movie that I made entitled Spanish versus Aztecs, The Clash of Titans. It ties into everything we've been talking about tonight with the cultural appropriation of the village people and of Justin Trudeau. I was the lead of our school team in that video of our little group in that project. And so I wrote the script and I filmed it, and it was our movie. And I cast myself as Montezuma. I played Montezuma, and I was in the full headdress and makeup and all of that. So anyway, I will not apologize for that cultural appropriation, though, because that's great history. But anyway, back to you, Jack, on what's going on in Chicago.
Okay, well, I gave you the stats about the murder man and things like that. But the big cities have big corruption, and they got, you know, we wish that we were an agrarian society where people were at farms or there, but a big cities have big corruptions, and this is nothing new from Sodom and Gomorrah and the times of Rome or things like that. And so I was sort of focusing tonight on the corruption in my own home city, which I've been trying to leave since I was seven. where some of the homo gay things have gotten way out of control. And so my subject tonight is where you're going to draw the line. And these are some areas that I'm drawing the line, and particularly two homosexuals, John Wayne Gacy and Jeffrey Dahmer, were both very active in Chicago. and they're oh, you're judgmental, and you're trying to impose your values and things like that. And like, I don't want to be like too much judgmental, but I feel like you got to draw the line somewhere. And tonight, to our listeners, I'm drawing the line exclusively against John Wayne Gacy and Jeffrey Dahmer. And these were both.
That's a bridge too far.
Yeah. They were both homosexual rapists and serial killers. John Wayne Gacy, I think he murdered and raped at least 33 boys. Jeffrey Dahmer was like up there. And not only, did John Wayne Gacy do all things, but Jeffrey Dahmer, not only did he target and rape and murder all these young people, he was also a cannibal. He ate them, okay? So he was there. And so tonight,
if he could only have lived, Jack, a few more years, if he'd only committed those crimes later, they would probably have exonerated him for being homosexual.
Oh, there. And then Jeffrey Dahmer, after he was brought to trial, he talked to one of the fathers of his victims. And Jeffrey Dahmer's, most of all of his victims were non-white. They were Black, Puerto Rican, or Malaysian, and like, and he tried to console one of the fathers of his victims that he raped, murdered, and ate. And he said he wasn't a racist. He really wasn't a racist. It was just a crime of opportunity. And you're supposed to say, "Oh, I'm supposed to feel that? Well, that's good. You know, that's okay that you."
Yeah, he could be a cannibal and everything else, but as long as he wasn't a racist, he could have been an okay guy.
He just has been a racist, you know. So I'm like saying, no, I'm tonight. And I'm going to get in a lot of trouble with the Southern Poverty Law Center or the ADL and all these people. I'm telling our listening audience that I think that's wrong. I think you have to draw the line somewhere. There's gay people, there's homosexual, but I'm against homosexual rapists, and I'm against homosexual rapist mass murderers, and I'm definitely against homosexual rapist cannibals. Okay, so if there's people saying, that you're trying to do your values, you're trying to impose, well, hell, fucking yes, I'm doing that. I don't think that's right that you should eat people. And so anyway, so that's sort of my theme tonight. And that's the city that I live in. I love my city, but I have to see that we've got serious problems. One of the problems are homosexual pervert murderers that have gone wild and are doing these terrible things. And I just don't think that we should condone this, and I don't think that we should promote it. I think that good people just come up and say, okay, I'm going to get in trouble, but I'm going to say that this is wrong. And so tonight I'm saying that this is wrong. I don't approve of it, and I'm opposed to it.
Well, we have to draw the line somewhere. And if it's not with, homosexual cannibals and rapists. But, I'll say this about Chicago. What's the best thing about Chicago? We know the bad. We know the bad.
We know
the murders. We know the homicides. We know the cannibals. But I would say the best thing about Chicago is that Married with Children. Was set there.
Yeah, that's not a very good show. Chicago.
No, that's beautiful. A great show. You don't like Married with Children?
It's degenerate. I think the architecture of Chicago is fantastic. That the architects, Louis Sullivan, Frank Lloyd Wright, the parks, we only have a few bad modern buildings. So the sky, if you visit it, the lakefront, it is gorgeous. I would love to be the tour guide for the political cesspool. And I think we should do a show here. I think it's the most beautiful modern.
We've been talking about it for years. We've been talking about it. You had Al Capone, though, didn't you?
Yeah, but they're but Florence, Italy is a beautiful city, but that was done in the Renaissance, and I think that Chicago's the most beautiful modern city. And if you like cities, which I do, I like museums, I like good public transportation. I don't have a car. I think Chicago's beautiful and has great culture. I love my city, but I just have to admit that we've got problems. We've got serious problems, but we've done with it. So these things are nothing new. It's not like we haven't had crime in the city. We have, we've had 500 murders every year for the last 40 years. I think when the Indians lived here, the Indians would say, "Well, don't go to Chicago. Those Indians there are criminals. They're sexually immoral." So that they have, but yeah, no, they support your city. support our sports teams, which I do. And but no, but you have to like draw the line somewhere. So tonight, this is my theme tonight. We have to draw the line somewhere, and I'm drawing the line tonight that I'm against the sexual.
Hey, you got to draw it. You got to draw it hard, Jack. Thank you, and remember, folks. TPC's third quarter fundraising drive. We need your help. It ends in just about 10 days. $100 or more, you're going to get two of our favorite interviews with Pat Buchanan that we conducted on this very show. Great stuff. Support us. Keep us going. Keep all of our guests going. Keep Jack going. Keep me going. Keep going. We love you. Thank you, Jack. We'll talk to you next week, and we'll talk to y'all next week as well. Good night, and God bless.